Worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is great to have you with us on this beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has blessed us with. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for joining us in spirit, and know that others are gathered with you here in this time as we worship together. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. A reminder that our annual meeting is coming up on January 31st, and packets with all of the information for that annual meeting are now available. You can find a link for that packet in your e-news, or you can go to the church website and follow the link that way. Winter Shelter Network is hosting a sock drive, so we're asking that you bring new pairs of socks to the church to support that. Today is actually the last day to do that. So if you've been thinking about it, haven't been really had the time to run out and get that done, today is the day that you want to make sure to get those donations turned in here at the church. Our youth are sponsoring a meal for the people at Joshua Station. And so if you're interested in being a part of that and helping out, please contact Caitlin Nelson. Please mark it down on your calendars for March 5th through the 7th as the Men of Joy head to Rainbow Trail for a weekend of fellowship at their annual men's retreat. Please contact Brett Specht or Randy Satram to register. See the e-news for more information on this event. And lastly, but certainly not least, we want to extend a very special congratulations and all of the well wishes to Jack and Tracy Hubble as they celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. May God bless you in your life together, as we have all been blessed by your presence here in this community of faith. Congratulations to Jack and Tracy. That's all the announcements I have for us today. So let us turn now to our time of worship together, taking a moment to collect our thoughts and minds and to calm our quiet spirits. And we begin by the sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us greet one another with a sign of God's peace, knowing that all others who are gathered with us on this day are extending God's peace to you as well. Let us share God's peace. Continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, and whose goodness cascades over all of creation. Amen. Together, let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources, and we fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. We ask that you receive them into your divine mercy. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. So in the wake of God's forgiveness, we are now called to be the beloved community, living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen. We join together in singing our song of praise this morning. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue with this morning's readings.
The first reading comes from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The book of Jonah is a comedy starring a reluctant prophet who is given a one-sentence message. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Much to Jonah's dismay, the people of Nineveh repent. The point of the story is to get the reader to wrestle with the question, on whom should God have mercy? The reading. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Please read responsively with me Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12. For God alone I wait in silence. Truly, my hope is in God. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall never be shaken. In God is my deliverance and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Put your trust in God always, O people. Pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge. Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Those of low estate cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. In robbery, take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, set not your heart upon it. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. That power belongs to God. Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to their deeds. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. Paul does not disapprove of marriage or other human social institutions. He does, however, want Christians to live in the present in fervent anticipation of God's future, which even now has dawned through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reading. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away.
Thank you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our service this morning with the children's sermon.
Hey, Pastor Rod.
Hey, hi, Lindsay.
What are you doing? It's the middle of church.
Well, there's some really good news. Today I was reading the Bible and for church, and I decided that I'm going to go fishing.
Okay, you're gonna go fishing right now?
Oh man, fishing is so peaceful and so relaxing. I just love it. Yeah.
So you're gonna fish right now, right there in this sanctuary. How are you gonna do? Help me understand.
What do you mean how?
Well, usually, you know, fishing requires a large body of water, so not wood.
I see what you're saying. But look, see my Home Depot bucket right here?
I do.
I brought my own water. It's right here. I'm ready to go. And look, I have my fishing chair. Ah, that feels so nice. And in addition, I brought my fishing pole right here.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, you have, it seems like you have it all figured out, but all right, so, well, to go along with this silliness, what are you going to use for bait?
I don't want to use bait. I don't want to use bait because, well, look, what I did is I put this paper clip on the end to weight down the end so that it would go in the water and everything would be fine. I don't want to use bait because I don't want to catch anything.
Wait a second. Hold on. Let me try to understand this. You want to go fishing, but you don't want to catch any fish?
Bingo zingo. That's right. Who wants to catch fish? That's too much work. You catch the fish, you know what you have to do? You have to clean them, then you have to fillet them, then you have to put them in batter, and you have to fry them and cook them. Ugh, what a mess. I want the other part of fishing. I just want the good part. The part where you sit here and relax and don't do anything.
All right. So you got inspired to do this after reading the gospel today?
Right. Because Jesus gave really good news to those disciples, those hardworking men who were out there doing the real fishing every single day. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to make you fishers of people. So just don't worry about it. Sit back. Relax. You don't have to do a thing anymore."
Okay. All right. So I think read a different version. Maybe you missed a little bit. So let's talk this out. So I think what Jesus was really trying to help his disciples understand was, you know, when you go fishing for fish, and you have to do all the work and it gets a little messy sometimes. But in this instance, Jesus is asking them to go and fish for people, which also requires some work, boss. you know, Jesus wanted to share the good news. And when you have good news, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to go out and tell other people. So as relaxing and as much fun as not fishing could be, I think Jesus is asking us to try a little bit harder, to actually go out and catch some actual people. Does that make sense? I think you'd be really good at it if we worked out how to take it one step farther. Jesus wanted that, not this.
You mean, okay, let me see if I got this straight. You mean he wanted us to go share the good news about God with other people?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means we got to work pretty hard?
Yeah, sometimes it gets messy and we have to work hard. Sometimes we get to relax too, but that's not all that it's about.
All right. Well, I guess that makes a lot more sense than just hanging out and waiting for things to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, as cool as your bucket of water is, even if you had some fish, there wouldn't be enough room in there for all the fish that you need.
Yeah. I get
but
it.
You can still bring your cool fishing pole.
All right. Okay. Well, listen. I think you really helped me a lot today, Lindsay. You helped me understand what this gospel lesson is about.
Good.
So I'm wondering if you'd be okay if I could offer up a prayer for us today.
I would love that. That would be great.
Okay, so let's pray. Lord Jesus, you called us to be fishers of people. And what that means for us is that we reach out and do the work and we love the people of this world in your name. We ask that you help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to know what jobs to do and to have the strength to do those things. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen. Hey, I know this really fun lake that you could actually, you know, do some real fishing for if you want.
What's that?
There's a lake right by my house. You can come over. We'll go fishing together.
I thought you said a link. Online. I was like, online fishing? Okay. I'm. No. All right. Yep. I'll come over to your lake someday. We'll go.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to start the sermon time with these two tennis balls. One tennis ball I'm going to put right here on the floor at my feet. The other I'm going to hold over my head as high as I can possibly reach. So here's my question. Which tennis ball has the most potential energy? Which one is most likely to make something happen, to do some work, to make a move? The ball at rest or the ball over my head? Well, that's right. The ball at rest has very little potential energy because, like we all learned in our eighth grade science class, an object at rest will stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. And this ball in my hand over my head has a ton of potential because if I let go of it, gravity, a force that's outside of the ball itself, will act on the ball and it will fall to the ground and bounce, right? So right now, at this exact moment, in this particular sermon, it has the greatest potential energy that it will ever have. It has the potential to inspire your heart. It has the potential to disappoint you. It has the potential to be the best darn sermon that you have ever heard in your life. Or not. But just so you know, I have poured hours of energy into writing and thinking and praying about this text today. And now, like it or not, this is what you get. But the good news for every preacher who has ever lived, who has ever had the audacity and the miscalculated judgment to stand before the people of God and bravely open his or her mouth, the good news is it's not up to me whether these words mean something or not. There's something happening that's far beyond my ability to string together 8 oddly spaced pages of words and ideas that will hopefully make sense to you, that will hopefully mean something to you somewhere in the middle of this moment, in the process of the proclamation. God has to take over, or else it's not going to be what God wants it to be. Just like God takes over and makes the water of baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit more than just water, God makes it a holy sacrament that names us and claims us as children of God. Just like God has to take over in the course of Holy Communion to transform our common, ordinary bread and wine that we buy down here at the King Supers and change it into the real presence of Christ, who meets us through the Word of God. God has to do something to make all these things good and holy and right. God has to fulfill the real potential of all these things and of us gathering together here today. God has to do something to make these words mean more than just what I'm saying. So in my office downstairs here at the church, I have this piece of art. It has Luther's sacristy prayer written on it. And these are the words that he would pray before he would preach or teach or do any of his Luther things. And it goes like this. O Lord God, you have made me a pastor and a teacher in the church. You see how unfit I am to administer rightly this great and responsible office. And had I been without your aid and counsel, I would have surely ruined it long ago. Therefore, I invoke you. Now gladly do I desire to yield and consecrate my heart and my mouth to this ministry. I desire to teach the congregation, and I too desire to learn and to keep your word my constant companion and to meditate upon that earnestly. Use me as an instrument in your service. Only do not forsake me, for if I'm left to myself, I will certainly bring it to all destruction. Amen. So, even Luther, who was more than occasionally full of himself, knew how important it was to not rely on his own abilities, but to wait for and to look to the power of God to do something inside of us, to move us, to work through us, to unveil our true holy potential. In other words, if we end up doing something good and holy in this world, it's not by our own power. It's by the power of God. Then, immediately, he changes the subject. The word immediately is in our gospel lesson today, twice. Did you notice? In the New Testament, this particular Greek word is used in the Gospels and the book of Acts a total of 58 times. Out of those 58 times, immediately is used by the author of the Gospel of Mark 41 of those 58 times. That's over 70% of the times that the word is used. It is in the Gospel of Mark. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, which, by the way, is the shortest gospel, if you're looking for a good place to start reading about Jesus, Mark is to the point, the most direct gospel. It's the story that takes us from here to there without all the fancy schmancy bells and whistles, without all those complicated words of the Gospel of John. When you read Mark, you get the sense that Jesus is on the move, that he's doing this thing over here, and it seems significant and important, and then, boom, immediately, he's on to the next thing. He's over here doing God's work. You get the idea that Jesus is a man of action, a man with a plan. He is, like I said before, on the move. But what if I told you? Would you be surprised to know that the English word immediately doesn't quite capture what the Greek word really means? The Greek word is euthys, which is a combination of two words, you, which means good or true, and hio, which means place, straight, level. Overall, the Greek word euthys means, has a meaning of this horizontal posture. More like, you know, the tennis ball that I was holding up in my hand. It's in a good place. It's a good place. It has a ton of potential for what happens next. But if there is no outside force that acts on a well-placed tennis ball or person, then nothing is going to happen, right? It just sits there in my hand or on the couch forever. So as people of faith, when we see that word immediately, we shouldn't think of running from here to there like that proverbial chicken with its head cut off. No, we should see this word immediately, and we should immediately think that God is about to do something significant, something incredibly significant in the lives of the people who are in a good place, who are gathered there, ready to go. That the potential to accomplish amazing things within themselves is just a bit low, especially when you consider who these people were, what they had been about, what they had done with their lives so far. They weren't evangelists. They weren't public speakers. They weren't powerful people or influential members of society. They were common fishermen who day after day went out and did the same darn thing. They set their nets, fished through the night, pulled the nets in, and maybe it would be a good catch. Maybe they would come up empty. They didn't know. Their success wasn't really based on anything that they did, any sort of special skills, other than being able to bait the nets and mend the nets and pull in the catch and sell the fish and then clean the nets and cast them out and do the same thing over and over again. Sure, it took patience. It took the ability to wait and watch and to see how things were going to turn out. But maybe that's it. Maybe that's why they were chosen to be the first followers of Christ. Because everything that happened while they were fishing was dependent on variables beyond their control from the outside. The wind, the weather, the presence, the absence of fish, the ability to go out and do the same things over and over again, then without losing hope, without giving up, without getting so discouraged that you say, well, the heck with this dirty, stinky, thankless job. I'm going to do something different. Maybe these common fishermen knew, maybe life had taught them, that they were really dependent on God. And dependence made them ready to serve God's purposes in the world. So there they were, well placed. It was a good place for them to be. Euthys. They were placed on the edge, waiting for that outside force, which, by the way, we call the Holy Spirit, that eternal, external force of God that acts and moves in our lives. They were immediately ready. They were wound up, waiting for Jesus to lead them wherever God was going to tell them to go, whatever God asked them to do, whatever God asked them to be. And remember how this works out. They are going to see the wonders of God unfold before their eyes. They are going to be involved firsthand with the most powerful event that has ever happened during the course of human history. They were going to be direct witnesses of God moving and working through Jesus the Christ. And the most amazing thing of all, there was no experience required. Just potential. The potential to trust the power of God to lead their lives. So listen, the other night, last Tuesday, we had an evangelism committee meeting. The evangelism committee, by the way, is hard at work behind the scenes. They have been constantly working all through this time that we've been away from the church. And now they're thinking about a new movement called Give Joy. It's not so much a program as it is a system to empower, to help us as a community to think and pray about what we can do in this world in the name of Christ, how we can look for the invitation of the Holy Spirit to transfer our potential energy into real action out in this world, how we can be guided by God to see what other people need, and then when the time is right for us as individuals, small groups, families, to do something in the name of God for the sake of Christ to meet other people's needs, and ultimately to give joy. Right now, at this time, you all know as well as I do, this world so desperately needs a good word, a little hope, a spark of life. So keep your eyes and your hearts open. Start thinking about ways that God is calling you, ways that God has positioned you to be ready to share joy, to bring the good news, to proclaim Christ through your words and deeds. You know, our potential energy is so great. But again, one more time, the good news is that God's energy, the power of the Holy Spirit, which moves within us, in our hearts and our minds, with or without us, the Holy Spirit has the power to give life to this hurting and broken world. So we just have a choice to make. I mean, what's it going to be? Are we going to answer the call? Are we going to be in a good place, ready to go when the Spirit calls and moves us? We may not be fishermen, but we certainly can be witnesses of how God has been moving in our lives. We can acknowledge that our life is good, not because we are good, but because God makes our life good. God gives us light in the darkness, hope in our despair, and God has blessed us with a community that cares for us. We can pray that we will always be ready for God to work a new work in and through us, and then we can have all that potential energy we have been given transformed into holy action immediately in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Praise, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. Lord, and let there be light. Shine on me, shine on me, shine.
with grace and mercy, send forth your word. Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Oh, river flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Together, with the saints above and the saints here with us, in all the community of Christ, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Ever faithful God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In calling us to follow, you have invited us into the possibilities of new and abundant life, to be a part of something far greater than we could possibly imagine. Teach us to tend to the places we find ourselves, loving and serving you by loving and serving others. May our lives reflect the love and hope of your kingdom, that it may continue to be established and grow in this place and in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this still new year, help us to grow in empathy and understanding. This world you have created is beautifully complex and diverse, and it is good that it is so. May we learn to lift up and celebrate the beauty of your unique creation, listening with open ears and tender hearts to the pulse of your loving Spirit moving in and through the lives of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we long for the day when your kingdom of love and grace is fully realized. And yet we acknowledge that we still live in a world where hurt and pain and suffering exist, a world where we cry out to you amidst our tears. Help us to see and know your presence with us, even in life's most challenging times. Be with those who are in need of your tender care this day, including Todd Francisco, Daryl Benson, Ben McCowan, Ryan Steinert, Stephanie Hawley, Katie Kaufman, and Virgil Hendrickson. Surround the families of Gary Carlson and Gene Stafford and Howard Oliver and John Erickson in your loving embrace. May the families of these loved ones know that in this time of loss, you are there. Strengthen them in the hope we have in new life through Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray. May the light and peace of your life shine within our hearts and minds this day and always, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our offertory, and as always, you have the option of sending in donations to the church to support the ministry here. But we also do have the option where you can donate online at our website. During this time of giving our offering and giving thanks to God, I want us to take a moment to reflect and think about the ways that God has called us and the things that have led us to be where we find ourselves today. How has God led you to this moment? And what are some things that we can give thanks to God for bringing us here faithfully in this time?
Yeah.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all the nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. So with the church on earth, with all the hosts of heaven, the choirs of angels, and all the saints in light, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and blessed it, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray together as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of God, as you take the bread, celebrate this meal together, we remember this is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. Now we take this cup of promise, and together we remember. This is the blood of Christ, and it is shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life and are strengthened for our journey. Send us forth from this banquet, nourished in body and in spirit, to proclaim your good news and serve others in your name. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been called to this place, to this time, to go out and to be the good news of Jesus Christ in this world. As you prepare to go out into the world, receive God's blessing. May God, the Creator, strengthen you. May Jesus, the Beloved, fill you. And may the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, keep you in peace. Amen. Join in singing together our sending song.
Like you, your whole
in peace. Be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.